Just these are very precious friends. Sabina and I have been in sort of, I don't know what, evangelistic mission ministry for years and years and years. And I started off on a thing called the Anglican Church Army, and we met Tony and Sue through that ministry. And they have been, this couple and another couple have been our biggest supporters. They've been there for when we don't know what to do next, we go to them. They've been there as a source of wisdom. If we're trying to figure out what we're doing or what's not happening, we go to them and chat about them, and knowing that they will give us, you know, they'll tell us plainly what they think we should do. That's where we go. And knowing also that they'll hear from the Lord and bring a prophetic word. And so they've just been a great, great source of support and strength and encouragement to us for years and years and years and years. I don't know if we've been much in return, but I know that we have drawn a lot from them, and they've been a real blessing to us. And I trust that they will be a huge blessing to you this morning. So would you give them a big welcome just because they're our friends?
Actually, Ian took our eldest one on the streets and completely terrified him. He signed up for this course with Ian, not having a clue what he was going to do. This was as a teenager, so. Well, he survived, exactly, and he's still a great gatherer and following the Lord and worshipping. So, do you want to, you're going to stand or sit? Okay. Anyway. I was praying for you. I felt like the Lord.
I just want to give something that I was praying this morning, and it was really for the church as a whole, so I felt it was better to bring it at the beginning. But I had a picture of this oak tree, and there was just a stump there, but out of that stump were coming many green shoots. Now, I don't know necessarily the interpretation, but all I know is it's positive, because there's been a foundation at some stage in the past, and that foundation is now beginning to produce shoots that are going to go in all directions, in all places, and I believe that the people in this congregation are all part of those shoots which are going to make up the expansion of the kingdom of God.
Excellent. I'm sure that ties in with what I had when I was praying as well. The Lord gave me the phrase, witness to the light. So I knew that was in John 1, but of course I looked up to see if it was anywhere else. But no, it's only in that passage. So I thought I'd start with it, because these are probably some of my favorite verses in the Bible. John chapter 1, 1 to 14. And especially look out for the bits that talk about light or life. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, and of course we're talking about Jesus, without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him everyone may believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So that, of course, is about Jesus. But the bit I want to point out was that in him was life, and that was the life. That life was the light of men. Now, John was in a very different position from us, you see. It says in verse 7 that he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all people might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Twice is that emphasis that John the Baptist just came to witness to the light, because the true light that was going to give light to every person was coming into the world. And of course, Jesus has come. He is come into the world, and he has and is giving his light to all of us. And so we're in such a different position from John. You see, in John 9, Jesus says, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And later on in chapter 12, he says, "I've come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." That was the whole point of his ministry. It'd be like we would take over where he left off. Of course, he's still working, but not in human form. And so that we would be the light of the world. That's how Jesus refers to us in Matthew. He said, "You, if you've believed and received Jesus, you are the light of the world." And again in Luke, he refers to believers as people of the light. And that's what I felt the Lord wanted to say to each one of us. Not, of course, that we don't know it already, but just to sink down in us even deeper, that we're not just witnesses to the light. We are. You are the light of the world. And of course, in order to be the light of the world, just as Jesus is and was, we need to become more like him in all we say and do. And that's what we were singing about, that we're becoming more like him. And you see, the thing is that Jesus always did what he saw his Father doing, and he always said what he heard his Father saying, and he came to give us that light, that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God. You see, it's part of our birthright as children of God that we would hear God, which is what the prophetic is. It's just natural Christian lifestyle. You know, I think we've just put it on a pedestal somehow and got a little bit scared of it and think it's for the professionals. And, I mean, we even sang, very first song, "We will praise him with our lives, and we are filled with the power of Christ." Well, of course, that includes hearing and sensing God. I mean, I didn't always believe or realize this, really, because as Ian said, I've been a Christian for a lot of years. And very early on in my life, I knew God had called me as an evangelist, to evangelize. I mean, that was my passion. I was just quite a new Christian, and our home group leaders laid out all the gifts of the Spirit, well, some of them anyway, on the table, bits of paper, and I was only allowed to choose one of them. So I thought, oh my goodness, quick, I've got to rush and grab evangelism. You know, I was brand new. I didn't realize that actually most people avoided that. I thought, I've got to get there quick before someone else gets it, you know. And the Lord just confirmed it to me in very many ways. And so I thought, fine. Because Tony took a longer time to discover who he really felt that God and what God was calling him to. But when he understood that prophecy was a large element of that, I thought, sweet, I'll do the evangelism. He can do the prophecy. And that's nice because we're a body of Christ. And, you know, we all do different things and have different gifts. And so that was one reason why I didn't prophesy. And the other reason was that we had a friend who had very, very accurate words of knowledge. And he would prophesy over us. And I never felt blessed. I felt very condemned and guilty because he'd say things like, I mean, anyone that knows me, you know, he and his wife were quite different from us because he was a born leader and his wife was quiet and compliant, and anyone who knows me will know that is not true for me. I'm not quiet, and you know, I'm not sort of just, carry along with whatever my husband says. You know, I like to listen to the Lord for myself and be my own person. So his mold never fit ours, and he would constantly prophesy over me that if I submitted to my husband, then the Lord would bless me. And well, I just end up feeling guilty. So I thought, forget prophecy. You know, and there were just a couple of, well, key things that changed my way of thinking. That first of all, I saw the positive effect of prophecy and words of knowledge, which is the same thing. It's all listening to God. I saw the positive effect on people, and I felt it on myself. You know, we had a very rocky time with, we've also got three sons. They're a lot older than the Moody sons, but you know, we have the three sons and no daughters. And we had a very rocky time with one of ours who was chronically suicidal for years, actually. And at one point after another of his attempts, I thought, oh my goodness, God, I've had it. I feel like I'm drowning. And these couple of people, both called Peter, prophesied over me that I would stand strong, that I wouldn't, they didn't know what I was feeling, that I wouldn't sink, I would stand strong. And they had pictures like that, and I thought, that's true, I'm not going to sink. You know, it just so encouraged me. So that was one key. And then two scriptures totally convicted me. One was John chapter 10, where Jesus is talking about the good shepherd and himself being the good shepherd. And here he says, his sheep, this is the good shepherd's sheep, follow him because they know his voice. See, so if you belong to Jesus, you're his sheep. And so you know his voice. We just don't always recognize that we actually can hear God, you know. So I'm sure you all know this, but just in case you don't, could you please turn to the person next to you and say, you are prophetic. On either side. And then you have to turn to the person next to you and say, I am prophetic. That didn't sound very loud and convincing, but hopefully further down the track, you're going to be fully convinced of this. So that was the first one. I realized that this was normal Christian life, that if we could hear his voice, then that included me. And the second thing was 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Firstly, when it was put, you know how you hear scriptures, but somehow you don't really hear them. So years down the track, it was pointed out to me that 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Corinthians 12 talked about gifts. And the fact that in between was a whole chapter on love was no coincidence. It was all tied up, that the gifts were supposed to be used in love. Now, this particular friend that prophesied over me, he actually prophesied because it made him feel better. So it wasn't actually about the effect on the other person. It made him feel better because he felt the anointing of God and he felt powerful. And that was one key motivation. But in fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, two things that convicted me. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So that smacked me between the eyes. No longer could I say, I'll have the gift of evangelism and I'll leave the gift of prophecy for Tony. No, because the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And any of us can prophesy at any time as the Spirit gives us. So that was the first problem for my theology. And the second problem was in verse 3. This, for everyone who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort, just like Ian said. You see, that hadn't been my experience. But I had, you know, of that, those words, and gradually I had been experiencing it and seeing people. And I was convinced, really, that true prophecy was always encouraging, comforting, strengthening, one if not all three of them. And that we actually all needed to do this. So I'm going to hand over to Tony, who's going to tell his very different story about his journey into the prophetic. And then I'm going to bounce back up again.
Yes, well, as I say, I did, I suppose occasionally I had a word or something like that, but it really didn't start until quite a bit later on in my Christian life. Some people are born virtually with a prophetic gift, and even if they're, of course, if they're not Christians, they may go the wrong way. But we had a year in China, my whole family, and I was teaching English as a second language, and Sue was homeschooling our three sons, and the idea was we were to pray. We prayed after the year because that was agreed to as to whether we would carry on for another year. And in doing that, we felt the Lord say that we were to return to New Zealand. In fact, I got a clear word from God. It was like a download that I was to go and return and pray. And then he said, preach. And, of course, I didn't know what was going on there because my previous preaching had been appalling. So anyway, we went back to New Zealand. And being the person I was, what I did, I got a locum job back doing legal work with a trust company and for several months. And I just had headaches every day driving into work. And this little voice, this big voice, God is big after all, saying, what are you doing in the car? Why are you going in this direction? Anyway, finally the work finished around Christmas time, and Sue in the meantime had actually been on a retreat, and she kept saying, why aren't you going on a retreat? And then Sue's parents came out from England, and I was just, you know, doing my usual thing around the house and not being very, I was a bit, you know, disconnected. And then I said, right, time for me to go on retreat. And so I went off for about 3 days. I had an agenda. I had an agenda that I had a whole list of things to ask God. And so I spent some time a lot of time worshiping the Lord for several hours, and then suddenly the presence of God came down. It was a time of the Toronto blessing. And I'd wanted to go to Toronto, but the Lord had always said no. Well, anyway, I went out to it on the floor of this. I was basically in a monastery situation, so they're very narrow bedrooms. But anyway, went out to it, and I started to, you know, ask the Lord about the questions. Shall we return to China? Because I was interested in identity. Like a lot of men, you want to have something. If you're not going to actually work, then you need to at least have a mission. And so, no, you're not going to do that, Tony. And my list was just all crossed off. And then he said, this is what I want to say to you. I want to say to you that you need to love your wife more. You need to spend more time with your children and get involved with them. And you're really not to be so tough on your in-laws. But the amazing thing about God was this was all an incredible love. I mean, I was just overwhelmed with the love of God. Though convicted, I was overwhelmed with his love and amazed. And I did just spend the 3 days really having communication with him. And in that communication time, he said to me, I want you to tell Sue that you're a new man. I paused for a moment and I said, Lord, she's going to laugh, knowing how it was. So he said, don't worry, in a month's time after that it will all change. So she picks me up in the car and we're driving home and the Holy Spirit's going, nudge, 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 when are you going to tell it? So, you know how it is, your heart's beating and you're just saying, I've got to do it. So I said, oh, by Sue, I'm a new man. Out came the laugh. And anyway, we went home and our in-laws were taking us down to the beach for a holiday and we were staying in a motel. And so we spent some time down there, came back, and Sue's mum, actually, I didn't know this, but Sue passed it on later because she was puzzled. Sue's mum said, you know, Tony's a lot softer or something. Something's happened. He's different. So Sue took note of that. Then a month went past, and Sue and I were walking into church. In the meantime, I'd been doing some more prayer at home and things like that, and so I'd been praying, and walked into church, and somebody said, you know, oh no, somebody said, oh, Tony, you're looking really good. And Sue said, oh yes, I just want to introduce you to my new husband. This is not the man I married. I thought, Lord, you're amazing. So, you know, God has a real sense of humor. He's a loving God and he's a God with a sense of humor. And from that time on, by praying, doors opened. I was knowing that I was spending a season of prayer, and it's not only prayer, is not only obviously intercessory, it's also just waiting on the Lord. But I was in an intercession, and our church needed a youth pastor, about 25. So this is what, they'd asked me if I'd pray for him. I said, oh yes, right. So I was praying away, and there, it was virtually an audible voice as I came down and came to me and said, Tony, you're the youth pastor. And I said, Lord, I'm too old, I'm 45, you know. And we had sons at the at about the age of being in youth group. And, oh, Lord, this is too difficult. I mean, my pastor's not going to agree. I've never shown any interest in youth. This is just terrible. Anyway, I managed to talk to Sue, and she agreed that if our pastor agreed, she'd join in. And so we did that for about a year. And in that time, we managed to go to a number of really charismatic, spirit-filled conferences that really, I think that probably Ian might have even been connected with at some stage. Were you involved with Kristen Williams at that stage? Yeah. I mean, they really were breakthrough for our church. In fact, it changed the whole foundation of our church from the bottom up to turn into a far more charismatic church. But it was really amazing how God just opened that. And but the one thing I want to say is that the prophetic came out of intimacy. And that's the important thing. It was time with God. And what happened is that I met a friend who was prophetic, and we started to meet together and prophesy together. And from that time, I started to go to home groups with him, and we would prophesy for people. I would get it wrong sometimes and things like that. But we were just, it just increased as I spent those two things, time with the Lord and time also with prophetic people. And so that's how it coincided. And I mean, I even came, I have to just be going, share one other thing was that the trouble with the prophetic is you hear from God, and sometimes what you hear is you don't want to hear it. And I was running one day down our street, and I was passing a local hall, and the Lord says to me, you're going to run healing meetings in that hall. I said, Lord, No. I mean, people know me in the street. I can't possibly do that. And he said, well, if you don't start in Jerusalem, you're not going to go to Judea. You're not going to go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so so happened, we then spent only a short time in that hall, but we moved it to our church, and we had people from all over Auckland coming for prayer. And I had friends from different churches, so we had a mixture of people praying with us. And obviously the prophetic was involved in that. So, but in all that, as I say, it was a matter of pursuing the Lord and listening to him. I'm just going to point out briefly for me, and it's probably... Can I have some water, Sue? I seem to be losing my voice. Sue's already mentioned why prophecy is so important, and so is Ian. But I just want to mention some of the things that I'd like to stress. First of all, I've already stressed the first one, and that is that you can hear from God for yourself, and that's the most important thing, because you can have a relationship with God, and there are things that God has shared with me that he said, this is not for anyone else. You know, it's like, and you might be about to share it to somebody, and boom, you know, he says, remember, it's not, or it's not the right time. And so the intimate things like that, I wanted to share something that, I mean, this person could share with us, but it was in that intimate time. We were running a fire starters course in our church, and part of the homework was that they were to spend half an hour and just listen rather than talk at all to God. And this person had been having trouble hearing from God, but when he did it this time, he heard God clearly saying to him, Peter, I love you. And it really, really impacted him. And just a short time ago, he and his wife plus one other went on a a mission trip further south of Auckland to Palmerston North with us, where we all ministered at another church. And, you know, these sort of things really impact. And there he is prophesying over other people. So it's just great to see that sort of thing. And also, it enables you to have guidance in all things. Because we all, I don't know, I mean, most of us must pray when we're going to move house, what house we're going to move into, or something like that, or a job, or things like that. So if we can do that, we can also have words for other people. It just doesn't have to be for the important decisions in life. And then, of course, we have prophecy for the body of Christ. And that's both corporate and individually. I mean, for instance, when we were in Palmerston North, and I was just looking out while I was speaking, and I just saw somebody who was highlighted, and I said, you're an entrepreneur, you've been going through difficult times, there's really been struggles, and but, you know, you're really gifted in this area. And I talked about a number of other things. You know how sometimes you get no reaction on anyone's face? I find that very... I'm not expecting you to have reactions, but it's very helpful when people nod or something like that. But there was no nod, there was nothing. So, and I even said, oh, is that okay? And he still didn't say anything. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just leave it. But it transpired that, yes, he was an entrepreneur and they'd been going through a difficult time and they came up for prayer. And then afterwards they were sharing with the pastor and all sorts of things. So it was really encouraging for them because they were going through a difficult time and the Lord was clearly saying, keep going. And Yeah. And I'm just going to launch out now. You know, for me it's scary because I found the Lord now doesn't give me prophetic words until I actually start speaking. So, you know, there was one time in my prophetic ministry when he said, Tony, I'm no longer going to give you words. You have to open your mouth and they'll come, which is pretty difficult. But anyway, so this is, I hope it's going to be a word of encouragement and I'm going to be obedient to the pastor. But Florence, I just wanted I just sense that you are an encourager, and also a great, obviously I've seen that you're a great prayer, but you pray for a very faithful, and you also go out to other people. You're a woman of the word and the spirit, and you take that word and you take a word of comfort to people when people are, in fact, I saw people who are often stuck at home because of whether illness or whether because of age or something like that, you will be there to sit alongside and to pray for them and encourage them and to build them up. But also you're one that is more than ready to share about Jesus in a most loving way. And it's like, you know, the Lord is just delighted in you. You are truly and obediently doing what we were called to do, to go and make disciples of all people. Yeah. So that's it. Another one is that in our church anyway, because it's probably on the street and easy, we have non-Christians who sometimes, well, we're an Anglican church, so they often come in expecting it to be typically Anglican. Some of them go out the door pretty quickly. Others stay. And anyway, but also we're right on the street, so people stray in. And a good number have stayed because not only has the presence and the love of God been there, because the people are so it's a friendly church. You're a friendly church, don't worry. And but also... there've been prophetic words that have been so spot on about their past lives, and or words of knowledge, and then prophetic words that have encouraged them, that they have come back, and many have been healed there emotionally. That doesn't happen immediate. It's people will come back time and time again for prayer ministry, which we have towards the end of the service, and they will have prayer, and also, if need be, we will arrange special times for them to have prayer. So that's a case. And there are other occasions when Sue was in England, and I was invited to go up north to a church. I'd never been there, but I sensed the Lord saying, go. And I've never had a week like this in all my life. I was asked to go up for a week, and it was like I was going to be tested on the first night, I think. It was an Anglican church, but I knew the son well, and he ran a Pentecostal church near where we lived. And so I spoke on the Tuesday night, and it was just like overwhelming response. And anyway, on one of the nights, I was praying for a mass of people. I really couldn't think of it. They were just, you know, and prophesying over them. And anyway, I prophesied over a teenager at the time, and as she came up, and I don't even remember what the words were, but what happened was that what I found out is later on, Sue and I were involved in the home group because we came up there for about 4 months to help the vicar, and but I found out via somebody else that she shared with the home group that she was running because she started worship leading and all sorts. In fact, the the pastor's wife rang me up and said, did you know that, you know, Katie Rose has given her life to the Lord and she's now up the front worship, part of the worship team. And she just said, my mother went to church, but that's what she shared, but I didn't really know Jesus. But when Tony spoke about things that my parents didn't know about and only I knew about, then I knew that God was for real. So, you know, it's amazing how powerful the prophetic is. And the prophetic, too, comes in when people have maybe never had a prophetic word before and they've backslidden. I remember on one occasion, Sue said, oh, will you come and pray for this person? It was a very close friend of ours, but she'd completely slidden out the door, but her husband was still going to the church. And I said, look, I've just got to grab my Bible from the car park and I'll be back. Well, anyway, when I got back, I started to pray over her and I prayed all these things over her. And they turned and looked to me and they said, but you've just answered all the things that Jill has asked Sue about. And the Lord has answered them for her. So she actually, although she didn't go to that church, she started going to a Pentecostal church. She was full on from the Lord, for the Lord. And so it's really exciting to see that sort of thing happen. And and the other thing, of course, is words of knowledge for healing. And no doubt you have those in this church. You've got, obviously, a reputation for being a healing church. I was going to give an example, but it's like, I'm not too sure whether it's true or not, but I'm going to go for it. That's the thing. You just have to walk on water sometimes. Did I leave a list there, Sue, or not? It's that line one. Thanks. But the one I felt the most, is there anyone here who has, like, just pain in their lower legs? I don't know. I felt like it was aches or pains. Quite a few are there. So we've got one, two, three. Well, Lord definitely wants to deal with that because that was the first thing that came up. I felt lower legs. I've never had that in my life, that one. So I thought, oh, well, we'll give that one. Well, yeah, claim it, and definitely, you know, we'll obviously, you have a prayer team, but we're happy to. Yeah, good. So there will be prayer. I just think we'll carry on, we'll let the flow carry on, and then, is that okay? Is that how you do it? No, would you rather pray for them now? I'm nearly finished. Very nearly, absolutely. And then just going to have some, then start on some prophetic words, but we can pray for them if you like first, doesn't matter. Well, I'll launch into one of my other ones and see what happens. anyone got a pain? It's ridiculous, but it's a pain in the neck, actually. It's just right here, and it's... it's a niggling pain. It's a niggling pain just here. You have got that. Right. We'll start claiming it now, right? And then we'll just believe it. And the other one is, I wonder whether, is there anyone here in the right ear that's got pain but like earache? It's just, it's been causing problems. Right ear with... You've got that. One there, right. right, those are the ones I had, and so I just felt those were, you know, if you can't talk about a word of knowledge without giving an example, we've got to have application today. That's the problem with a lot of the church today. They don't have application. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, that's it. Now, the other thing is, of course, outreach, and you're good at outreach. And so, of course, you know, prophecy is incredible with outreach. And, of course, you can ask people for healing as well, and that's great. Because what you're doing is you're sharing the love of God first and foremost, and changing the whole image of what the public person, the average person has of what God is. And they think of it as religion, but we see it as relationship. I was out on one time on K Road, which is our red light district in Auckland, and a student came along, and he was highly skeptical, and I started prophesying, and I agree, it just did seem a little bit wiffly-waffly, and I wasn't getting anything. And he said to me, I just want something more precise. So, you know, I was just saying, Lord, this has just got to be better. You know, bring me something that's really better. And suddenly I started prophesying, and I said, right, I see you going from place to place, different people groups here, there, and everywhere. It's as if you are an anthropologist and you're going from place to place. Oh, I've just graduated as an anthropologist. And I said, that's the case. Do you believe that God is real, and do you want to? And he said, I don't know. I don't think I could do that. And then he came up with some pathetic reason like, you could have said I was a lawyer. I said, come on, this is God. I didn't say lawyer, I said anthropologist, and you are. But the point was, I thought it was a bit like the rich young ruler who, you know, walked away. The point was that he was in a lifestyle, probably in a gay lifestyle, and he thought, well, how could I ever join that? Finished? So he's, oh my goodness, we are. We've
it's
done the time.
Been keen for us to actually do some prophesying. So I'm rounding up. So his testimony shows, and mine was the same, really, that, you know, when I saw him hungering after God and just disappearing off and spending time with the Lord and hearing so clearly, I thought, man, I want that too. You know, and I started to take time out. So, you know, really, I think taking time out and eagerly desiring the gift and practicing, not worrying if you make mistakes, you know, praying in tongues to prepare the acting on what we hear. I was reading about the Macedonian man today. Paul was set in this direction, and he gets a vision of a Macedonian man, and he just acts on it, and off he goes. You know, all these sort of things, I think, really help us. And if you're not sure what to say, start encouraging somebody. The Holy Spirit loves encouragement. He'll come right in behind and give you a word. Or start praying for someone. I've seen someone saying, it was an elderly man. He said, I can't prophesy. And I said, well, then just pray for the person. He started praying, and as he prayed, it was quite obvious that he was actually prophesying. It just turned into prophecy. So those are all the ways. But I think often, I don't know if this is true for you, but I think often we don't prophesy because we're afraid we'll get it wrong and be a false prophet. So I just wanted to quickly say that someone who gets a prophetic word wrong is not a false prophet. A false prophet, it's quite clear. If you want to look at it in detail, I recommend that you check out Matthew 7 and 1 John chapter 4. Because Matthew 7 talks about false prophets. By your fruit you will know them. It's the fruit of our lives. You see, the guy who had the accurate words, but I felt condemned, the reality was he wasn't prophesying out of love. And the woman with the spirit of divination was positively getting on Paul's nerves. It was a right word, wrong spirit. You see, by your fruit you will know them. And the other thing is too that in 1 John 4 it clearly says we are from God, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So if someone is not listening, not coming under submission to leadership, for example, we had a woman in our church. Tony was about to head off to Hong Kong and deliver Bibles, and she had a word for him. So she went to our vicar, our pastor, and said, "Can I give you this word?" And the pastor said, "Certainly not." But she didn't listen. She gave the word anyway, and the word was, "If you go to Hong Kong and take Bibles into China, you will die." It is neither encouraging, comforting, nor strengthening. It was very scary. So when he actually had a minor medical problem over there, he thought he was going to die. It was actually a curse, not a blessing. So that is what a false prophet is. So don't worry. If you get it wrong, it doesn't matter. If it's comforting, encouraging, and strengthening, it doesn't matter. And Tony's got lots of testimonies, you know, that he's prophesied over someone, and he's like, "I don't know if I got that right, God. Isn't that right?" And the Lord says, "Never mind. I'm going to do it anyway."
Yeah.
You know? So don't worry about it. That's...
Well, you prophesy into being those things that are not. And in many cases, they come to pass.
Mm.
You know, if they're within the will of God. And I think that's what has happened on occasions with me.
So we're just going to prophesy over a few people, not everyone. And then we just want to encourage you, when we've done that, to come up if you want to go up a notch in the prophetic. You know, or you just need greater boldness, or whatever it is. Just you want to hear God more clearly, and particularly, of course, as an evangelist, my passion is that as we start to hear from God, we find out who we are and what we're called to do. And that way, evangelism happens naturally. You know, that's what I realized. I can't evangelize effectively unless I know where to be, who to speak to, what to say. You know, I've got loads of examples which I haven't got time to share. So come up if you'd like to go up a notch in the prophetic. But we're going to prophesy over a few people first. Is that what you'd like? I just felt for you, Sir Dario. I felt like that you were very eager and perhaps a little anxious that you wouldn't be able to do this, that you couldn't prophesy. But I felt like the Lord had seen that anxiety and that desire. And so he just says to you, "Yes, you can hear me. You can do this."
Yeah. I just sensed, yeah, for you, Jill, that, you know, there's like, this is a transition period, and you're going to see greater things happen. You're going to see more miracles. You're going to see breakthrough in the relationship area and in things like that. Also, there's restoration all around you in the sense of restoring relationships and things like that. You're one that's, you know, it can do that for people, but even for yourself too. I believe there's going to be restoration in certain situations, and you're going to walk in that. And I believe too that as you press in, you are going to walk. You're going to have. I don't know if you already do, but that you're going to have a. You're going to prophesy. You're going to have a prophetic call on your life to hear from God, to be one who prays and sees results. You have incredible compassion too for the sick, and you pray for them, and you're going to see healings, and you're going to see people raised up. Yeah. So, someone else. Lots here. Just the back row. Does that mean they're not keen, or they are keen? Yeah.
I felt.
You go.
If I'm wrong, it doesn't matter, you see, as long as it's encouraging and comforting. I'm often wrong. Tony is not often wrong.
Oh,
but anyway, I
felt
for you, sir. I don't know whether you think it's highly unlikely I'll get picked. But I. I just felt like the Lord wanted to encourage you that his eye is on you, that he notices you and that you're important to him.
Yeah.
Ian wants to finish off. When you finish having burning words.
Well, I mean, I could have words for everybody, but I mean, you know, not really. We can do that later.
We can do that. I'm just conscious. I want to get because we've got to be out of here. We've got to be out of here by one. So right. We haven't got. So, but I do want to pray for the people who had those words of knowledge. So, put your hand up if you've got a word of knowledge was for you. There was the legs. There was the neck, and an ear. Hand up so we can see. Keep them up. Can we there's not many of us. Can you just need one person to touch. Come up and pray. Those of you, can you keep your hand up, please? Please, please, please. So if you're not got your hand up, and if you want, can you just come up and put a hand on someone who's got a hand up and just pray for those words. Doesn't take long. You know what the word is. Just speak to it. Say, be healed in Jesus' name. We'll only need to do it a minute, and that's all God needs. So go for it. Just ask what it was and go for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we thank you for your word. We just speak to those conditions in the name of Jesus and we say, be healed in Jesus' name. It's commanded to be healed. It's all Jesus did. Just spoke to the condition. Be healed in Jesus' name. Try it out. Test the pain level. Any improvement on the pain levels? Anyone? Test it, improvement? 50% improvement for Florence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There were three people with legs, weren't there? Were there three of them? Three legs, lower legs. Anyone else? She won't know. Okay. All righty. Okay, let's finish off. Let's finish off. You got more for the person then. All right. Let's just. Why don't we just where you are? If you just wave at me, you want some prayer for. Just an increase in prophetic ministry. You just feel you want to move on a bit more. Wave a hand at me. I'm keeping my hand up. There's a few of us there. Oh, cool. Can you just pray for us where we are? Is that all right? Or did you particularly want to lay hands on each of us? Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? Those of us who, or something, and you pray for us. And then what we're going to do, what we are going to do after that is if anyone wants a prophetic word, just come and line up here. I'm going to put them on the spot. Totally put these two on the spot. And they're going to hear for God. They will hear from the Lord for every single person who comes up and gets a word. They will hear. Because God does those sort of things. So first of all,
do some imparting.
We're all standing. Give it to us.
I'll do the bold one. He'd do the prophecy one.
Right. Father, we just thank you for the gift of prophecy and we release that prophetic gift right now. We release it and let there be a mighty increase, especially for those that have stood up, that they will indeed be impacted and will in fact have what I refer to as downloads from heaven and prophetic words coming out of their mouths, bringing life to situations, bringing greater life for themselves and for others. Yes, Lord, thank you.
And a release of boldness. Thank you, Lord, a release of boldness that, yeah, God, that as we hear and are just prompted by your Spirit, we would step out and act on what we hear, even if it's in the street or the supermarket. Thank you, Father, that this will result in your kingdom being expanded. Thank you, Lord, that their love for you would overcome, our love for you would overcome all fear. Thank you, Lord. Just release your boldness, your fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, thank you. Thanks, Tony and Sue. Thank you for sharing with us this morning, encouraging us in that gifting.